The word today is power. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher, Paul Schrader. At times, we may feel that God has lost control. Well, be assured that He hasn't. Our powerful God still rules and controls all things. Here from our archives to lead us in this study is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Power.
I'd like to talk about power today. You know, there are many instances in the Old Testament, in a minute we're going to look at several of them, which talk about God's power. I'm concerned that people once in a while, and I'm talking to the Christians who are listening, not only the unbelievers, but also we as Christians, forget that God is in charge. You know, we see the circumstances in the world, like the wars that are going on, and we see all the problems in the world, and we for the moment, tend to forget that God is still in charge. I'm concerned about that. I believe we here in the United States, and I know that there are people listening to me all over the world, in China, India, you know, we talked about government several weeks ago. It doesn't matter what the government is, God tells Christians to be good citizens. We looked at Romans 13 on that subject. And here, when I'm talking about the power of God, I don't care who is governing your country or what type of government you have or what you think about the various wars that are going on. The truth, the bottom line is that God is all powerful. And ultimately, God will work out exactly His will in the way the world is run. You know, sometimes He takes hundreds of years to do that. We're told, for instance, in the Bible, that at times it would cause the Israelites to wonder, is God still in charge? And then God would make a prophecy, and it might take 1,000 years for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And yet the prophets were correct when they reminded the people of God, don't think that God is waiting too long. God's waiting for the right time. I remind people of that constantly because every promise of God is fulfilled. Ultimately, God fulfills every single promise. Now, it kind of reminds me of something I asked my father, who was a pastor. When I was a teenager, I was troubled by some of the books that I was reading about the war. And one in particular was a German Lutheran pastor who had been taken captive, and he was tortured. And I asked my father, you know, Dad, if a government ever took over America and Christians were tortured, I don't know if I would have enough faith to withstand that torture. Would I remain faithful to God? I'm not sure I'm strong enough. And my father smiled, and he answered me, very correctly, biblically, at the time I didn't realize that, but I've learned that since then. He said, Paul, God doesn't promise you to give you that strength of your faith right now, but at the moment when you need it, if you turn to God, He will give it to you. Now, that's a very comforting thought. Let's say that you were required, you know, in those days, they were required by their life to deny God, or they'd be shot, they'd be killed. Would you have enough strength to say, I still believe in God, even though you knew if you said that, you'd be shot? Well, the point my father was making, and it's a biblically accurate point, is your faith may not be strong enough right now as you imagine that, and as you think, would I be able to still confess my faith? But if, when that temptation came and that trial came, if you turn to God, it is God's promise that He will then give you the faith required, the strength required to be able to resist that temptation. That's a beautiful, beautiful promise of God, the power of God. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He knows what you need, and He is all-powerful. It is terrific to understand that. Now, I mentioned that I was going to go into the Old Testament and give you a couple illustrations of this. Go into the book of Daniel, for instance, and you'll see that Daniel is called upon to interpret a dream. As a matter of fact, in the fourth chapter, you'll run into a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. That's one of those big biblical names. And Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that he's going to lose his power, that God is going to cause him to, well, let's just take a look at what it says here. Look at verse 28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" You know, this is the conceit and the pride that was rising up in him. He thought he was really something. And we are told here that Daniel warns him and says, not only are you going to get ill, you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High, talking about God there, is sovereign over the kingdom of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Now, this was a solemn warning that Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar, which he, of course, ignored. But immediately within the lifetime of those people, very quickly, that prophecy was fulfilled. And we are told that Nebuchadnezzar was driven away from the people, just like it had been said, and he ate grass like a cattle, like a cow. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle, and his nails like the claws of a bird. You'll see this in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. And so you see the power of God. Here was somebody trying to play God. You know, this kind of reminds me of Herod. Herod the Great was a great builder. I just came back from the Holy Land again, leading a group over there. And one of the things that you see in the country of Israel today are the palaces that Herod created for himself. One of those is very near Bethlehem, only 3 miles away. And you can easily see it from Bethlehem. It's kind of a flat-topped mountain. Actually, it looks like a volcano, except that it's flat at the top. It looks like the top was blown off. And Herod rounded out the inside of that mountain, not too far down, but 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 feet into the mountain, and made himself a temple there. He had one of his summer palaces there. Well, Herod tried to be God, just like Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth chapter of Daniel tried to be God. And God disapproves of that very strongly, and he immediately let it be known that Nebuchadnezzar was going to have to pay a price. And, of course, he did. And one of the things that I can tell you historically about Herod the Great was that he paid a price, too. He was so neurotic, he killed off his wife, his children. He was so afraid of the people he governed that they were going to get him, that he kept moving around. He had 6 or 7 palaces like that. I've seen several of them. Even over in Jordan, he had one, and I've seen that one. The bottom line was that he was so neurotic that he couldn't even enjoy himself. They don't even know to this day which one he's buried in. He was so secretive, he would move around and try to keep himself safe. The bottom line is he had a terrible life, just a terrible life. He tried to play God. Interestingly enough, true God, Jesus Christ, was born of the Virgin Mary only 3 miles away from his Herodian palace. Isn't that interesting? 3 miles to the east, some guy was trying to play God, and 3 miles to the west in Bethlehem, God took on human form. Jesus Christ became our Lord and Savior. Why don't we stay here in Daniel for just a minute yet? Take a look at chapter 5, for instance. Daniel's interpretation. the Belshazzar had a party, another king, Belshazzar, and there was a hand that came through the air, went over to the wall, and wrote something on the wall. What he wrote was, "Meeny, meeny, tickle you, farson." Now, in the new NIV, there's no U in front of farson. And so you will think that's a misquote. But actually, in the original, there is what could be transliterated into a U. And so it's, "Meeny, meeny, tickle you, farson." And, or if you want to say, "Meeny, meeny, tickle you, farson," and drop the U, that's fine. At any rate, it means weighed in the balance and found wanting. In other words, O king, you think you're so great. You think that you're in charge, but the fact of the matter is you're a very poor ruler and you don't have control over anything at all. God is in charge here. I think all the civilizations of the world, you know, as they became more immoral and as they became more godless, at some point God pulls the plug and he says, okay, it's time now for the Roman Empire to disappear. It's time for the Egyptian Empire to disappear. It's time for the European empires to disappear. You know, in my heart, I hope America will repent. I hope America will stop aborting 3,300 children every day, murdering them. This is so horrible. God is strongly displeased. I hope America will repent of its immorality and its abortion. I hope we will turn to God. I want very much for God to bless us. And he says if we will turn to him and repent, he will bless us. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise of God. He loves his people, and he wants his people to be faithful and true to him. The power of God is real, and the mercy and love of God is real. And he proved that by sending his son Jesus to be our personal Savior. God loves you, and he wants you to spend eternity with him. Believe in his son Jesus Christ for your forgiveness, and you will spend eternity with him.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.